Say, the Lord is good to me. All the time. Amen. Amen. That's true, isn't it? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somehow or another, before we get into our specific message, I felt impressed to tell this story. I'm not exactly sure why, but we're just going to do what we're impressed to do. Praise God. But Richard Roberts, you know, I don't think any of us can really understand what it's like to have somebody as famous as Oral Roberts as your father and then grow up like that. Of course, I remember, you know, Oral Roberts was on TV. He was on regular TV. He got criticized heavily. He got persecuted heavily. There were people that loved him heavily. And, you know, I know as a kid, we'd say, I'm going to slap a knot on your head. Oral Roberts can't take off. You know, so Richard said, I heard all the jokes. He said, every day at class, you know, every day on the playground, somebody scraped their knee, there'd be Oral Roberts jokes. And he said, I'm right there. The teacher would laugh. Everybody would laugh. And, you know, as time went on, Richard, as he grew up, he was a very talented singer, very anointed singer, went to one of the most prestigious, was invited to go to one of the most prestigious schools that you could go to for musicians and singers. But he backslid, and he got away from God, and he loved his father and had a great relationship with his father, but he backslid and got away from God, you know, and sang as a teenager with a rock band, and then as he got older in college and so forth, he sang in nightclubs on a regular basis and was offered contracts to sing in Las Vegas, you know, the Sahara and different places like that. And so he loved his father, but he wasn't living for God. And, you know, when he came home for college one weekend, I guess it was a weekend, but he had been singing in nightclubs and so forth, and he didn't want to hear about God. You know, of course, his father wanted him to live for the Lord, obviously, and wanted him to use his talent, his gift of singing for the Lord. But he got home for the weekend, and, you know, he didn't know what it was going to be like because he wanted to be home, but he loved his parents, but he didn't want to hear about God and all that kind of stuff. And so his father, right off the bat, invited him to play golf. He said, well, I enjoyed golf. My dad enjoyed golf. That was going to be a great, great thing. You know, we got out there and we're playing, you know, no pressure. We're not talking about anything. We're just enjoying each other's company, and we're playing golf and so forth. And he said, but he said, when we got to the sixth hole, he said, my dad began to talk to me about my relationship or my lack of relationship with the Lord. And he said, and about, you know, how I should be living for the Lord and how I should be using my talents for the Lord, my gift of singing for the Lord and so forth. And he said, I'm telling you, a tremendous anger rose up on the inside of me and resentment rose up on the inside of me. And he said, I just shouted out at him, get off my back, Dad, and get the hell out of my life. Well, that's, you know, Oral Roberts you're talking to. It was a very awkward moment, a very silent moment. He said, but after a few moments, my dad said, son, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get the hell out of your life. And when you hear Richard tell the story, because everybody always laughs at that point, he said, we laugh now. And he said, I laugh now. He said, but it wasn't funny then. He said, it wasn't funny then. It was very awkward, very serious. And he said, I just said, take me home. I don't want to play golf anymore. So he said, we headed back to the car, and I wrote this down because I wanted to get it just right. He said, when we got to the car, Richard said, my dad looked me straight in the eye, and he said to me, he said, Richard, I'll never mention God or singing to you again unless you ask me to. I'll never talk to you about God again. I'll never talk to you about using your voice for the Lord again unless you ask me to. Richard said, well, that was fine with me. He said, that was my ticket out. He said, now there would be more pressure. That was my passport to freedom. I could go on my very own way. Or he said, or could I? He said, I didn't realize to years later what my dad was doing. And this is the way Richard put it. He said, my dad was turning me over to God and giving me totally into his hands. He was turning me over to God, amen, and giving me into his hands. And he said, from that moment forward, he said, God took over. Is I dreamed about being in the ministry. He said, I'm singing in nightclubs and I'm dreaming about being in the ministry, and went through some sickness and God healed him of the sicknesses and so forth. But anyway, it wasn't too many months after that, less than a year, I think, where Richard surrendered his heart to the Lord and began to sing with Oral Roberts on his TV shows and every crusade he went to. Praise God. But I like that. I like that. He said, God turned me over to God. You know, was turning me over to God and giving me into his hands. You know, I think I don't know. I think that it's possible that you can cast your cares over on the Lord and say, I'm not going to worry about that child anymore. I'm not going to worry about that my wife anymore. I'm not going to worry about my husband anymore. I'm not going to worry about my nephew that I'm praying for. I think it's possible to really get to a situation where you know that you shouldn't worry about it, that you really do have your cares cast over on the Lord. I think that's possible, but you still haven't turned them over to the Lord and placed them totally in His hands. You're not worried about Him anymore. I think that's possible. Obviously, if you're worried about it, you haven't given them into God's hands. But you know, I think sometimes, and not just people, I think sometimes people have situations in their life that they know, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to fret over this. I'm not going to be anxious about this anymore. But still, they're trying to finagle and work it out and do everything they can to work it out. But bankers are involved and lawyers are involved and other people are involved and this will is involved and that will is involved. And you really can't get anything done about it. And I think the Lord's saying to us this morning, whether it's a person you're praying for, your son, your daughter, whoever, or some situation, have you really turned them over to God and put them in God's hands? I know I was involved in a situation one time where I realized that such and such was supposed to happen. And to me, I said, well, Lord, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, in the natural, that's impossible to happen. It's not just me. There's several people involved here. In order for this to happen, you know, they're involved, and I have great favor. Thank God for that. But there's a few of these people that are involved in this situation where I don't have any favor with. Matter of fact, not only do I not have favor with them, they are actually against me. You know, and I said, but if this is what you want to happen, if this is your will, I see that it is. I know that it's your will, but I'm not going to do one thing to try and make it happen. It's totally 100% in your hands, and I'll not touch it. And God beautifully made it all happen. And I never lifted a finger. Now, sometimes, you know, Oral said, I'll never talk to you about the Lord again unless you ask me. And so sometimes you can turn somebody over to the Lord and say, well, I'm not gonna bug them about Jesus anymore. I'm not gonna bug them about going to church unless the Lord prompts you or leads you to do it. That'd be different, you see. You always have to be led by the Spirit of God. So you could have a situation in your life this morning, not just a person you're praying for, but a situation in your life this morning that you go, well, I just don't know how that's going to happen. I believe that's supposed to happen, and I'm trying to make it happen, and I'm really not worried. If you are worrying about it, you definitely need to cast your care over on the Lord, you know, and be anxious for nothing. But even if you're not worrying about it, have you really just got to a point where you say, Lord, I'm putting this totally 100% in your hands. I can't make this happen. I can't make this person do the right thing or that person do the right thing or make this door open or close that door. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to believe you. Amen. Not just believe whatever it may be. No, you're believing that the right thing is going to happen. Amen. But do you have something in your life you need to turn over to the Lord this morning? Amen. Somebody you're praying for that you just need to give them to the Lord. You just need to turn it over to the Lord once and for all and say, Lord, I'm putting them totally in your hands. I believe the Lord is encouraging you to do that this morning. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you got any hell in your life, He definitely wants you to get rid of that. Yeah. Get the hell out of my life. That's what I'm trying to do, son. I'm trying to get the hell out of your life. I don't know why some people want to hang around God, but they still want to just live for the devil and wonder why that doesn't work. No, sometimes to get the hell out of your life, you got to repent and say, Lord, I'm through with that. I give that up. That doesn't mean you won't be tempted, but some people aren't even, you know, they're not even resisting the temptation. No. You have to repent and say, I turn from that. I get away. That's how you're going to get the hell out of your life. Praise God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's look at Mark 11. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. Amen. Praise God. We are excited. We are excited about the anniversary service, by the way. Don't let my lack of whatever. You know, it's also people are also celebrating my birthday, so I'm trying to be just low-key about this. But we are excited about everything that God has done in the past, and we're excited about what He's going to do in the future. But yet, you know, I'm just like Sheila said, I just have a role to play. Everybody's a part of this. Everybody has a role to play and has played their role. Praise God. But so we're looking forward to it. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, or so, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, whatsoever things you desire, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Praise God. Now you can keep your place there, and let's look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This scripture doesn't get near as much attention as other scriptures along these lines, but this is a very, very powerful, powerful scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask it, this is the confidence, well, boldness, confidence, faith. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If you ask God for something according to His will, He hears you. Keep in mind that that phrase, He hears you, is used throughout the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. When God hears you, that means He answers your prayer. In other words, if God's hearing what you're praying, then you get your answer. So if you pray according to the will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have, not going to get, but we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. The New Amplified Bible is very good. It says, this is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to, that's the Amplified. Is that the new one or is that the old one? Okay, good. Good. So you can read it there. He hears us. Verse 15. And the New Amplified is AMP. The old Amplified is AMPC. That's Amplified Classic. Amen. Praise God. Verse 15. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, if you ask something according to God's will, then you absolutely know that He heard you. So, verse 15, if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that He hears and listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute confidence that we have granted to us the request which we have asked from Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you ask according to His will, you know that He heard and answered your prayer. You know with confidence that you got what you asked for, that it's now yours. And actually, because I printed this off, there's a footnote in the Amplified Bible. And it says, confident, abiding faith combined with God's power can produce amazing results. If the request is in harmony with God's will, God is fully capable of doing that which man's regards as impossible. That's why it's so important that before you try to pray the prayer of faith or to believe God in faith for anything, you absolutely become convinced in your own mind that it is God's will to give it to you. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, based on different spiritual laws and different instructions from the Word of God and commands from the Word of God and from the Word of God, we've been looking at 12 ways to experience God's absolute best in your life. Doing these things, these 12 things, will put you on the road to a better life, to your best life. Glory to God. So that you'll be pleasing to God, that's number one. So that you'll be a blessing to others, and so that you yourself will be blessed in life. Now, last week we left off looking at way number four. I'm not even going to talk about 1 through 3 this morning, but we looked at way number four, which was this: learn the secret to faith. You could call it the principle, but I say secret just to grab your attention. But learn the secret to faith. The secret to faith is found in Mark 11:24 when he says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. In other words, when you pray, you believe, you become fully persuaded or fully convinced. That's part of the definition of the Greek word believe in the Bible. To believe means to be fully persuaded, to be fully convinced. The second part of the word believe in the Bible means you accept something to be the absolute truth. You accept it. You accept it as being true. You accept it as being real apart from or without any physical proof. In other words, what your senses tell you may deny that it's true, may deny that it's real. Glory to God. It may not confirm that it's real or it's true. That's where faith comes in. Faith is believing what God's word says about you and your situation, regardless of what it seems like, regardless of what it feels like, regardless of what it looks like. So you are to believe you receive whatever you ask in prayer. You're asking God for healing, for instance. It's according to the perfect will of God. You ask God to heal you. And you, what? You believe God is going to one day heal you? No, that's not what it says. You believe that God can heal you? No, that's not what it says. You believe it's God's perfect will to heal you? That's not what it says. It says, believe, you receive. So you ask God to heal you and you believe. You accept by faith that he has healed you. You're fully persuaded and fully convinced that you got it and that you are right now healed, not because you feel like it, not because medical science says you are, but because God says you are. You believed you got it, and then you shall have it. You believe, then you shall have. Amen. Praise God. And that's the secret to faith. That's the principle to faith. And it doesn't just work in the prayer of faith, you know, where you ask God for something. You just go to the Word of God and you find out God's Word says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, everything about your past tells you that's not true. You know, you feel insecure. You know, you've had people tell you that you're a nobody. You've had people tell you that you can't do all things through Christ, that you'll never make it, that you're useless, that you'll never be productive, that you'll never amount to much. But God said, you're loved and accepted and righteous and you can do all things. So you believe, not that you're going to one day become these things, but you believe that right now, and you say with your mouth, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, you believe you got it. That's the secret of faith. You say things with your mouth. You speak to mountains and you believe before you see anything happen or change that those mountains will move. Glory to God. So Mark 11:24, the Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic Bible says, for this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you. See, you believe that you got it. You believe that it was granted to you, and you will get it. That's the secret to miracles. That's the secret to faith. That's the secret to moving mountains. That's the secret to overcoming. Glory to God. You ignore your feelings and you believe what God's word says about you. And then you act like it's true and you talk like it's true. And you praise God that it's true. And you thank God and say, oh, thank God I'm healed. Glory to God. And somebody looks at you and said, well, look at that. You still got that big knot on your elbow. I thought you said you were healed. I said, I believe. I accept as a real fact. I accept what God's word says as being true. I took it by faith and I am healed regardless of what it looks like. Praise God. And if you'll believe that, then things will change. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. So again, the Amplified Classic Edition says, I'm telling you, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe and be confident that it is granted to you. Now, the New Amplified Bible says, whatever things you ask in prayer, in accordance with God's will. Well, that's really good, and it's not good. Because the original people that translated the Amplified Bible were not necessarily healing, believing, tongue talking, full gospel, Pentecostal type believers. And so even though they're sincere and pure hearted, their own interpretations get in the way of their translation sometimes. And they're trying to get across the teachings of the last 100 years that, you know, it's got to be God's will, it's got to be God's will, it's got to be God's will. Well, certainly it does have to be God's will. But you know, God's will, I got to wondering one time, what do people do with all these scriptures? I read a lot of commentaries and these are good men. Some of them are not, they're not Pentecostal, they're not full gospel, they're not word of faith and so forth. And so some of these people are really good guys. They say a lot of good things. I learn from them. And I was just wondering one day, because they're sincere people and they do their best to don't want to just give their own opinion. They want to tell you what the Word of God says in their commentaries. And I thought, well, what do they do with scriptures like Mark 11:23? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive. What do they do with scriptures like Mark 11:22? You know, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou. What do they do with that? What do they do with scriptures like Matthew 21:22 that says, "In all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall," not "you might," but "you shall receive. What do they do with, "If you ask according to the will of God, then you know God hears you"? What do they do with that scripture? What do they do with scriptures like John 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you"? Or John 16:23, "Whatever you ask the Father," Jesus said, "in my name, he will give it you." And that's just a sampling of scriptures along those lines. And so I got to looking at them, you know, because like I said, these people are honest, they're sincere. I know that, and I'm wondering what they would say about those scriptures. And so I begin to look up what they said, and they in essence say this: "Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. These scriptures are absolutely the truth." I'm talking about Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran type commentary. These scriptures are the truth. They're in the Bible. They're true. The Bible means what it says and says what they mean. But you must ask according to God's will. If something is God's will, if something is God's will, you know, you can get it with your faith and prayers, and these scriptures absolutely apply. Well, I agree with that. Certainly you got to ask according to God's will. But then they go on to, in essence, say, nothing is God's will. It's not God's will to heal you. It's not God's will to meet your needs. It's not God's will to protect you. It's not God's will to deliver you. And so they explain those. They say those scriptures are true, but only if it's God's will. And it's not always God's will for you to be healed. It's not always God's will to deliver you. It's not always God's will to help you. It's not always God's... And so that's why they, not meaning to, but that's why they get around those great and wonderful truths. I was in Jacksonville, Florida last week. You know, I'm visiting my mother. And my mother's, you know, she's close to 90 years old. And doesn't drive anymore. And we live 450 miles from her. So we've made a concerted effort over the last few years to try to go see her more and just do whatever we can before we're down there. You know, something's bothering her in the house, and we fix it or take her out to, you know, wherever she needs to go and so forth. And so she keeps her TV on mostly, but about 90% of the time she has it on Christian television program. And so I, when I'm down there, I hear a lot of good things. I can't help but hear it because she keeps it loud. No, you don't understand what I mean when I say loud. You know how you got on your new TVs, you have this thing on the side, it has the volume numbers like 16, 17. Now, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, and what do you keep yours on? 16. Huh? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. How many of you know what I'm talking about? What? 40. Wow, there, Tony keeps his on 40. My mother keeps hers at about 90 to 100. So I can hear. She sleeps on her sofa. I mean, not her sofa. She sleeps on her recliner at night, and she keeps the TV on all night long. We can hear upstairs. We can hear. Sometimes when she's asleep, I sneak down there and I turn it down, you know. Well, this minister's on TV and he's preaching, and he is a good man. He's a lovely man. I like to hear him preach. He's a good preacher. He's a denominational pastor. He pastors a mega church here in America. Really, he pastors one of the largest churches in the world. I mean, 99.9% of all churches are smaller than his church. Probably 99.9, 7 or so. You know, so he's one of the largest churches in the world. I like him. I like his preaching. He has many good things to say. And he's talking about prayer, and he's talking about an Old Testament prophet, talking about Elijah, and he talked about how he got such tremendous results when he prayed, because he prayed with great boldness, and he prayed with great confidence, and he prayed with great faith. And what he's doing is teaching them that's the way you get answers to prayer. You have to pray with boldness. You have to pray with confidence. You have to pray with faith. And that's absolutely the truth. And he said the reason that he could pray with such boldness and such faith is because he knew that what he was praying about was absolutely God's will to happen. And so he's praying with boldness and confidence and faith. And he says, but you know, what about when it comes to your own personal life and you don't know what you need? Well, in the first place, if you're sick, you know, you need to be well, don't you? I mean, if you can't pay your bills, you know, you need to be able to pay your bills, don't you? If you need help, you need to know you need help, don't you? But he says, I find myself in a lot of times when I'm praying about the church, when I'm praying about my own needs, when I'm praying about my family, that I don't know what God's will is. So he says, what do you do in those situations? And this is what he said. He says, when you're praying about those type of situations, you need to boldly ask for what's in your heart, but then trust Him, God, then trust God to do what's best. Now that might sound good on the surface, but that is not faith. That violates the principle of faith. And that prayer will not work. Amen. And this is something I've heard many times. You know, in other words, this is what faith is. This is what probably 50% of the body of Christ, maybe 60%, maybe higher. This is their definition of faith. You ask God for something. You trust God for something. You believe God for something. But then, you don't know whether you're going to get it or not. You just totally leave it in His hands. And then it's His will. If it happens, it's His will to give it to you. If it doesn't happen, it wasn't His will to give it to you. Can you believe you receive praying like that? No, because you don't know what's going to happen. No, that's not faith at all. But I've heard that over and over, people expressing this is what real faith is. Amen. Again, you ask God for it, but then you trust God or you leave the results with God. So if you don't get what you prayed for, then it wasn't God's will to give it to you, and that's faith. It's faith because you trusted God and you left it in His hands. And like I said, to the unlearned, that sounds good and right, but it's not right and it's not biblical. The man's whole point up to this point had been, you can't pray boldly in faith unless you know what God's will is. And that's right. You cannot pray in faith with confidence unless you first know what the will of God is. I know what God's going to do before I ever pray. Except when it comes to the prayer of consecration and dedication. I'll mention that in a moment, so just hang on. Glory to God. And again, I've heard many, many, many people, you can't believe you receive what you ask for in prayer if you are leaving the results up to God. You can't pray in faith, in other words, if you're leaving the results up to God. I've heard many people over the years say faith is praying but leaving the results up to God. But nowhere, listen to what I'm saying, nowhere, 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 nowhere in the Bible is that the description of faith, or nowhere in the Bible is that given as a definition of faith. Nowhere. Nowhere. I mean, stop and think about it. Hebrews 11, faith says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, which means faith is your assurance, your title deed, that you have what you hoped for, what you desired. In other words, you hope for something, you have a desire for something, and faith is your guarantee, it's your assurance, it's your title deed that you got what you hoped for. Glory to God. Amen. Then it goes on to say, faith is the evidence that you have something that is not yet seen. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, you don't see it. It's not, but you say, yeah, but I got it because it's God's will to give it to me. I know that. I believed. I received. It's mine now. Glory to God. Not I'm just leaving it up in the hands of God and I don't know what's going to happen. That's not what that scripture says. It says, by faith you know that you got it. That's what it's saying. Amen. And the Amplified, again, is that the Amplified? The Amplified says, faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, of things divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as a fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. The Amplified Classic says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So even though you can't see it or feel it, you haven't experienced it yet in the natural, you know that you got it. That's the definition of faith. Amen. What about we walk by faith and not by sight? That means you believe what God's Word says and not what your senses tell you. Glory to God. What about James? James said, listen, if you doubt and waver, if you're not sure God's going to give it, if you're leaving it up in the air saying, I don't know whether I'm going to get it or not, but I'm just trusting God. He goes, no, that's wavering, that doubt, that's doubting. And he said, don't let that man think he shall receive any answer to his prayer. That's clear enough, isn't it? Praise God. In Mark 11, 24, when you pray, believe that you receive. Not when you pray, believe that God's going to do what's best and right for you, and you just leave it in His hands and then trust Him to do the right thing. That's not what it says. It says, believe you got what you prayed for. You understand the point I'm making? That throughout the Word of God, anytime you look up the word faith or trust God, it has to do with, it doesn't have anything to do with that definition of just leave it in the hands of God. So praying and asking God to do something, but just leaving the results with Him, won't get results. It won't work. That prayer won't work. It won't get results. And that's why people continually believe the wrong thing. Because they say, well, I'm just trusting God, meaning I'm just leaving it in the hands of God. And then when they don't get their answer, they say, well, it wasn't God's will to heal me. It wasn't God's will to meet my need. It wasn't God's will to protect me. It wasn't God's will to deliver me. And that's not true. See, because their whole prayer was based on a premise that's not in line with the Word of God, and that it won't work. Everybody say it won't work. It's not faith. It's not the definition of faith. It's not the definition of belief. Are you following me? I said, are you following me? Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Somebody says, well, I mean, you know, let me tell you this story. I was with a man one time. We were visiting relatives, Margaret and I. And so we were asked to go to the hospital, because I'm a pastor, we were asked to go to the hospital and pray for somebody that was having a serious medical condition, you know, life-threatening. And so we went there. When we got there, their pastor came in. Their pastor wasn't a person that, you know, he was a good man, godly man, but he wasn't full gospel. He wasn't Bible-believing, faith-believing, healing-believing, tongue-talking, so forth. And so we visited and so forth and so on. And of course, that's good and wonderful to comfort people and just share your love with people. But you know what I'm there for is to help this person, to get this person healed. I mean, I do want to comfort them and strengthen them with my presence and love on them and show them compassion. But you know, I don't want to leave the room with them facing pain and misery and death. So we're there to pray the prayer of faith so that they can be healed. And so it came time to actually pray for the person. And of course, I took a back seat because her pastor's there. He's the lead pastor in this situation. He should take a front seat. But I was, to be honest with you, I was concerned. I mean, I wasn't, I know more than you know. It wasn't that. I was just concerned. He probably knew a lot of things I don't know. But I was concerned in this area he wasn't going to really pray for her like he should. And so he laid his hands on her. We laid our hands on her, and he started praying for her. And I'm telling you, to my utter amazement, he prayed one of the most powerful, beautiful prayers, asking God to heal her and believing God that would touch her body and restore her to perfect health and so forth, as good a prayer as I've ever heard. And I'm kind of like, glory to God, I agree, this is wonderful. But then, as he got to the end of the prayer, he said, but Lord, got to watch out for them buts, especially them big buts. But, Lord, if for reasons unknown to us, it's not your will to heal her, then thy will be done, and help her suffer and die. He didn't say that, but that's what tantamount to what it meant. Just be with her the best you can while she suffers and eventually dies. I can't pray the prayer of faith. I can't operate in faith and then tag on to the end. Lord God, I see in your word that it says I am forgiven. So I believe I'm forgiven, if it be thy will. Lord, I ask you to heal me, and I believe I receive. Glory to God, I got it. Thank you, Lord, I am healed, if it be thy will. No, that's a faith killer. That destroys faith. That's impossible to pray that prayer. It won't work. It won't get results because it's not faith. Amen. Amen. If it be thy will, everybody say, if it be thy will, is a faith killer. Because you don't believe you received. See, a lot of translations say believe you have received. You don't believe you have received the answer to your prayer, but if you say if it be thy will, because you don't know. See, how could you possibly be fully persuaded? How could you possibly know that you got it? You can't. Somebody said, well, Jesus prayed, if it be your will, one time. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was consecrating and dedicating, it's a different kind of prayer, he's consecrating and dedicating himself to do the will of the Lord. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows that the sin of the world is going to be placed on him. He knows, and this is what I think really bothered Jesus and why he was really, my opinion, why he was praying this prayer. He knew that because he took on my sin and your sin, the sin of the entire world was going to be placed upon him, that God the Father was going to turn his back on him. And he was going to be separated from the first time where there was no beginning, you know, because he's God. But he was going to be separated from God and his love. Because of our sin. And so Jesus said, hey, if there's another way, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's proper there. See, there are times in life we don't know the will of God. Lord, should I buy this property? Should I not buy this property? Should I go? Should I stay? Lord, I don't want to do this, but I seem to have the impression that you want me to go over here and do this particular thing, but I don't want to do it. Nonetheless, not my will, thy will be done. Then you obey God. See, that's proper there. But Jesus didn't pray, come out, devils, if it be thy will. Be healed, if it be thy. No, because he already knew that was the will of God. Praise God. So you understand that. You understand that. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You can't pray in faith unless you first know what God's will is. I remember Brother Hagin talking about him. He went to pray for a lady in his church. You know, they called him and said, would you come? I don't know if they wanted him to lay hands on her or maybe anoint her with oil. So he went over there she's in bed. You know, her husband's in the room. She's in bed. She's not deathly sick, but she's not feeling good. And so he said to her, because he's a regular church member, goes to his church on a regular basis. He's taught her well and so forth. And so he said to her, just to get a faith statement out of her, he said, now, sister, when I lay my hands on you, will you be healed? And she said, well, I will be if it's the Lord's will. And that kind of took him by surprise, you know, because he thought, well, I thought she knew better than that. I thought she, you know, it's not going to, if she doesn't know it's God's will, if she can't be confident, she can't be assured, she can't believe that she gets it, she can't believe that she receives her healing when I pray for her if she's not sure it's God's will. And so, you know, in those days, we're going back to the 40s, probably maybe even the 30s, you know, you could kind of locate people by asking them questions. In other words, somebody comes up in the prayer line and you say, will you be healed when I pray for you? And they go, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm worthy or not. Well, it's not going to work. So, you got to talk to them about you're righteous because of the blood of Jesus. You're forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. You ask somebody, will you be healed when I pray for you? And they go, well, if it's God's will, well, you know, you're not going to get results. You got to first go back and show them from the Word of God that it is God's will for them to be healed. You talk to somebody else, say, will you be healed when I lay hands on you? They say, well, I sure hope so. Well, hope is not faith. Hope doesn't get the job done. So you talk to them about the difference between faith and hope before you lay hands on them. Now, the reason we don't do that today is because you all know everything I'm saying, and you're going to give me the correct answer whether you believe it or not. You're not about to say, will you lay hands on, will you be healed? Yes, 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 yes. But underneath people's breath, they're going, well, I sure hope so. If it's God's will. And so he said, will you be healed when I lay hands on you? She said, well, I sure hope so. So he said, well, he didn't just lay hands on her. He knows that's not going to work. So he gets out his Bible. He reads her some scripture, shows her from the Word of God that Jesus himself took our infirmities and took our diseases, and by his stripes we were healed. And so then he says, now, sister, I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you. Will you be healed when I pray for you? And she says, well, I sure hope so. If it's God's will, I will be. So again, Brother Hagin's kind of taken aback that she hadn't understood after all these months, because he's been there some time as a pastor. So he goes through the scriptures again and talks to her. And he says, now, sister, when I lay hands on you, will you be healed? She goes, well, I will be if it's God's will. And so he thought about that and he said, well, sister, how are you going to know whether it's God's will or not to heal you? And she said, well, I thought you'd just pray, and if it's God's will, he'll heal me. And if it's not his will, he won't heal me. You see, again, that goes back to what I was talking about. We're just going to leave it in the hands of God. We're going to just trust it in God. Not in that. We talked about leaving things in the hands of God, but that's the wrong way to use that. No. You can't pray with boldness. You can't pray with confidence. You can't pray in faith. You can't believe you receive not knowing whether God's going to do it or not. So, of course, he's already asked her three times, and Brother Hagin says, you know, I'm a young pastor, a new pastor, so I can't just walk out the door. So he said, I laid hands on her and did the best I could. I knew under those conditions she wasn't going to get anything, so I laid hands on her and prayed the very best prayer I could under the circumstances. He said, I might as well have been saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. He said, as soon as I took my hands off of her, he said, the second I took my hands off her, she yelled out to her husband, I knew I wouldn't get anything. Well, and then, you know, go around talking about how Brother Higgins lost the power. No, I knew I wouldn't get anything. And she said to her doctor, call the doctor. Give me some medicine. Give me some prescriptions. Give me so I can get healed. So Brother Hagin said, you know, I'm still in the room for a few minutes there. And he said, I got to thinking about it. She already told me that when I laid hands on her, if she didn't get healed, that it wasn't the will of God for her to be healed. So now she wants the doctor to come. She's going to pay for a doctor to come and pay good money for a doctor to get her out of the will of God. I mean, if it's not the will, I mean, if you're going to, with that kind of wrong logic, with that kind of wrong thinking, if you didn't get healed, and if that means it's not the will of God for you to be healed, then why don't you just go ahead and suffer instead of trying to get out of the will of God? Of course, that doesn't make any sense because God can and does use doctors in the healing process. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. So here's what we're saying. Trying to pray for anything without first being convinced that it is God's will for you is a formula for failure. It won't work. It's not faith. Neither will praying and asking God for something and just leaving the results with God. That's not how faith works. You can't pray that prayer in faith. No. Nor is it the way we determine God's will. We determine God's will by going to the will. Amen. Everybody knows what a last will is. Well, you know, a last will is sometimes called a last testament. In our day, we mostly call them your will. You go to the will, somebody has died, and you find out what belongs to you because of their death. Well, we find out what belongs to us because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But you see, in my day, it was commonly called a last will and testament. Basically, the word will and testament, as I'm using it here, means the exact same thing. So a last will and testament. You notice the Bible is divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament, the old will and the new will. Thank God we have a better covenant, a better testament, based upon better promises, praise God. Yes, it includes everything that the old had and beyond. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you go to the Word. The Word of God is the will of God. And you find out what's in the testament. You find out what's in the will. You find out what belongs to you. And what you'll find out, for instance, is you'll find out that it's the perfect will of God for you to be healed and whole in your body. You'll find out it's the perfect will of God for the hell to be out of your life. Amen? Richard told Oral, get the hell out of my life. He said, that's what I'm trying to do, son. I'm trying to get the hell out of your life. And you get the hell out of your life by knowing that God wants to save you. God wants you to help you by His Spirit. He wants to restore you. But you've got to be willing to repent of things that are wrong in your life and to turn from those things and to surrender your life to God and then ask God to help you and believe that He does. Glory to God. But you see, I know it's God's perfect will for every single person in this building to leave here today perfectly whole and healed because Christ has redeemed, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeem means He purchased your deliverance from. Redeem means He paid the price that you might go free from. Redeem means He delivered you from. He delivered you from the curse of the law. He purchased your freedom from the curse of the law. He set you free from the curse of the law. He paid the price for you to be delivered from the curse of the law. The curse of the law included eternal separation from God and dying as a sinner and spending all eternity in hell. But as you read the curse of the law also clearly included in Deuteronomy chapter 28, every sickness and every disease known to man, those not known to man, those were under the curse of the law. And Christ has redeemed. He's paid the price that you might go free from every single sickness and disease. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs, who is crucified on a cross, who hangs on it. So when Jesus died on the cross for you, He redeemed you. He set you free because it was God's perfect will from every sickness and every disease. Glory to God. That's just one scripture. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, which is known as the great redemptive chapter of the Bible, says that surely, talking about Jesus, surely he hath borne, you know, he bore your sins. Amen. Surely he hath borne, it says, your sicknesses and diseases and carried all your pains. Glory to God. The next verse says, he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. That's your sin. The chastisement of your peace, your well-being, your total well-being was upon him. And by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. That was Isaiah looking into the future and seeing what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's God's will that you be set free in your spirit, that you have total well-being, that you have peace of mind, and that you be healed in your physical body. And so Matthew 8, 17, quoting Isaiah 53, 4 says, surely, I mean, that doesn't say surely, but it says, it's talking about Jesus, it says, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, that it might be fulfilled. This was after Jesus had just healed people, physically healed people. And Isaiah says, this is in reference, or Matthew says, goes back to what Isaiah said. This is Jesus taking upon himself. He lifted our sicknesses. He lifted our diseases off of us, put him on himself and carried them away, because it's God's perfect will that you be healed. And 1 Peter 2, 24 says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body. That's Jesus. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose wounds, by whose bruises, by whose stripes you were healed. You have been healed. Glory to God. It's the perfect will of God that you be healed. Now, amen. Is that so? Glory to God. Where's my scripture? 1 John 5:14 amplified. This is the remarkable degree of confidence that we as believers are entitled to have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, it's God's perfect will that you be healed this morning. It's God's perfect will that you be pain free. It's God's perfect will that you be restored in your physical body. And if you know that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us and whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the request which we have asked for him. So glory to God, you say, I just take my healing by faith. I believe I receive it. Doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter how I don't feel. I believe I receive it. I take it by faith. It's God's perfect will to heal me. I ask him to give it to me. I believe I get it right now. And then walk by faith, praise God. You're healed regardless of how your body seems. You're healed even if your body feels better. That's not why you're healed. You're healed because God said you are. But you do want to see that the Bible is a legal document signed and sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's our believing what it says and believing that we have what it says that makes it true in our everyday reality. And you do want it to be true in your everyday reality. Glory to God. So if you got any kind of pain or sickness in your body that you're dealing with right now, stand up for me. Everybody else stay seated. Just those people. Anybody feeling any kind of pain, any kind of sickness in your body, stand up. Stand up. That's all right. Stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Now, you may be already believing God, but in that case, you just say to yourself, I'm having people agree with me. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Is it the perfect will of God for you to be healed? Is it the absolute? You know that. If you ask for God for something according to his will, does he hear you? So you're going to ask, or if you already asked, you're just going to say, thank God that I'm already healed. Amen. So you're going to, if you know that he hears you, do you know that you get what you asked for? Glory to God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, say this out loud. Say in Jesus' name, it's your perfect will that I be healed, that I be pain free. So I accept that. I believe that Jesus at Calvary became sick with my sicknesses so that I wouldn't have to have them. He took my infirmities. If he took them, then I don't have to have them. So I take by faith. I accept by faith. Total healing. And I believe I receive right now. And I believe with all my heart, I am right now, I believe it, healed in Jesus' name. Now lift your hands and praise God and thank God that you're healed. Everybody stand up with us and let's praise God and thank God that they're healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We believe it. We believe it. We believe it. We believe it. We're believers, not doubters. Just to put a cap on this particular point here, I've learned the secret to faith. I just happened to be reading in an old devotional by Brother Hagin. You know, I've got several devotional books. I don't necessarily go by January 1st. I just pick them up and start reading them, you know. And I just happened to be reading in this a few days ago, and Brother Copeland talks about four words that work. Believe that you receive them. Four words that work. And he's not really teaching on it like we were, but he says some things here. Believing, that's the key to everything in the kingdom of God. It's the way we tap into the very power of Almighty God. Most of us know that, but few of us are sure exactly how that kind, but few of us are sure exactly how to do that kind of believing. We don't know how to put it into action. Actually, it's simple. It's startling. It's as simple as saying, I believe I receive. Everybody say that. I believe I receive. Something happens in your spirit when you say those words. I don't understand how, but it does. I don't understand how my digestive system knows what to do when I swallow something, but it does. All I have to do is take a bite of faith and it goes to work. I don't have to make it happen. I don't have to feel it happen. It just happens. That's the way the body is made. It's much the same way when you feed on God's precious promises and swallow them into your spirit by saying, I believe I receive. Say it again. I believe I receive. Faith is released. Nothing happens, see, until faith is actually released. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to feel it happen. It just happens. The reborn spirit is made that way. When you constantly say with your mouth, I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive my financial needs. Yeah. You need your financial need met? You need some financial need met? Say that to yourself right now. We'll all say it again. Say, I believe. I receive. My desire. My prayer request. Which is for this financial need to be met. I believe I receive it right now. I thank you that the need is met. Hallelujah. He said, Brother Hagin said, then you just need to keep the switch of faith turned on. And Gloria and I have discovered that speaking that phrase, I believe I receive, is one way to do it. We say it when we pray. We say it when we praise God. We say it when we read the word. Glory to God. We especially say it in the face of darkness when it looks like we're not receiving, when everything looks the worst. We say it the loudest. I believe I receive. Do you want to activate your faith? Then make these four key words the most important words in your vocabulary. Use them every day. You'll soon discover, just as we do, they really, really do work. I believe I receive. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe I receive. Want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I believe I receive. And I expect to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives me the utterance. I believe I receive. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 If you go out to eat lunch today or driving home to eat lunch, you might turn on the radio and you might hear a preacher say, as I did about 2 years ago, faith is asking God to take care of something, then just leaving it in His hands and trusting Him to do it. And if He doesn't do it, it wasn't His will. If He does do it, it was His will. That's not faith. That's not the description of faith. That's not what faith is. That prayer won't work. That prayer has zero chance in hell of working. And you need to get that hell out of your life and believe what the Word of God says. Believe you receive when you pray, and you shall have. Say, I'm a shall haver. In Jesus' name, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm looking for the glory. People have seen it just in the last couple of weeks of the services here. It was a prayer, and Kay said, I had to look up because I heard a whole like singing, like a choir of angels singing. I looked up like, where's that coming from? Praise God, hallelujah. I believe for great things. I believe for greater manifestations of God's glory and greater manifestations of God's power. But when it comes to you, you're not a little baby anymore. God expects you to believe you receive. That's the way you're going to get your prayers to work. Then you can use that same ability to go out and help others. But the gifts of the Spirit and those things, they're going to happen as you're ministering to people that don't know. But for you that know, the way, the primary way, the main way, you're going to get everything you get from God is by faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. Amen. As we're dismissed this morning, turn to one person and say it with boldness and conviction. Look at him straight in the eye and say, have, no matter what you deal with, no matter what happens in life, no matter what happens next week, have faith in God. Say that to somebody. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen.